Apparently, I have three assignments due tomorrow. Thanks, Professor.
Oh, good. Sure. Well, it's good. You have your priorities straight because, of course, the podcast comes first.
Well, you're damn right.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody! Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me, as always, via Skype, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We are actually doing our first ever game day broadcast. We usually wait until there's an off day for the Caps, but they have a game tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday up against the Hurricanes. So let's talk about this past weekend, what happened with the Capitals. They had three games up against the Devils, Predators, and Rangers. The Capitals were able to come away with two wins in that span up against the Devils, which I think it was an overtime win. It shouldn't have really been that hard against the Devils, even though they did play a good game. I want to focus right now on the Predators, though. That game, very lopsided in the Capitals' play. They definitely came out in that first period just kind of going, oh, man, it is early, 12:30. Oh, I'm not ready to play. And that first period, they kind of chilled out and let the Predators have their way with them pretty much. You know, we saw Philip Forsberg and Mike Ribeiro kind of having a field day. And then the Capitals were able to wake up later in the game, but too little too late, and they weren't able to come out with a win. So, hopefully we're talking about the playoffs in a week or two, and the Capitals are involved. But with this kind of play, as a fan, it just worries me. Like we were talking about last week, some inconsistencies they have. What do these guys have to do to wake up and play a full game? Because obviously Nashville came to play, and the Capitals weren't ready for it.
Yeah, it was an interesting game watching the Nashville game, just how pathetic they played in that first period. And then they were able to go in the second and third and outplay them the rest of the way. And if you go and you look at it, sort of the stats, they won that game in terms of the second and the third. And so if they'd actually played halfway decent in the first period, they could have won that game, not easily, but, you know, fairly easily. They should have been, what was it? It was a loss 4-3, so they should have been able to go out and win. I mean, what is it? It was 3-0 and end the first. Then they outscored them 3-1 the rest of the way. So in the end, if they just given up, let's say, one goal in that period or even two, they're going into overtime at least. So at least they're getting a point out of that game, if anything. So they definitely had opportunities, and just had they not played just so pathetic throughout, they should have been fine. So that was bad. The New Jersey game was something we've seen before of just letting teams hang around. Thankfully, they were able to come away and get 2 points in that one. But, oh man, that was another one where you're just like, guys, really? Why are you letting these teams hang around? Just when you get up big, you know, stop. It seemed like the whole third period they were playing just defense. Like they were playing on the road with a lead style of hockey instead of at home and consistently putting up the offense and, you know, not letting teams hang around. So those both were not entirely great games. You could take bits and pieces from those games that were actually really good. Like Niskanen's winner in overtime against the Devils was very nice. In the second and third period by the Capitals in the game against Nashville, right? I would hope he got chased out of that game. That was interesting. But I thought Peters actually played pretty well. So that was good to see. Nicely hope he got a break, even if it was only the second and third period, because he didn't play very well in the first. But
Do you think it was just an off day for Holtby? Was he not getting, do you think, like the defense?
It wasn't just him, though. I think some of the reason he got pulled, one of it was he gave up three goals. I think he definitely should have had at least one of those. And then I think it was also to give the boys a little bit of a wake up. You know, sometimes the coach will do that, and they'll just pull the goalie as a way to wake the team up. I was half expecting Holtby to be back in the second period, but they decided not to go that way, and the Caps were almost able to, you know, eke out at least a point out of that one. But that was another disappointing game in terms of just leaving points off the board in terms of that. But no, I don't think it was like a message to Holtby or anything.
Well, I was just wondering, like, do you think it was a bad day for him, or do you think like the defense wasn't giving him support? Like you just said that
both.
Yeah, like one of them was kind of on him.
I think Holtby didn't have his best game, but the players and self in the first period. Now I'm talking specifically just the first period in regards to the defenseman of the forwards. I just think that was just a bad effort. I don't think it was consciously a bad effort. You know, I don't think they're out there just trying to dog it or anything or take time, but it just wasn't a very good game in terms of that first period. The second, I mean, if they played the way they played in the second and the third, they come out with 2 points, no question about it. But because Holpe had a bad start and the team overall had a bad start, it cost them.
Yeah, and I just want to put this out there, too. This is just me personally. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about Philip Forsberg and how bad of a trade that was. I mean, it probably does go down in Caps history as one of the worst trades.
He is a legitimate player. And it's not just because he's playing very well, although that is certainly part of it.
It hurts.
But it's also that, it was just so dumb. all right, you go out and you trade a guy like a prospect like Forsberg, and you go on, if you go out and you acquire, let's say you need a goalie, and you go out and you get Ryan Miller, or you went out and you got Pecorine or something like that, or you go out and you get a top line winger, and you know he's getting 20 to 25 goals a season, playing exceptionally well on the first line with Ovechkin and Backstrom. Yeah, it kind of hurts to see Forsberg play well, and you're like, damn, we could have had that kid too. But you got a player who's still playing well, so you don't really care as much. Whereas you go out and you acquire Martin freaking Erat, and who just dick for you during his less than a season with the team. Right, it was like less than a season he was with the team. Yeah. So, thumbs up, McPhee. That was real smart. And then he tried to like excuse it away. It was totally a panic move at the time, and what a putz. That is probably the worst trade in Capitals history.
I gotta imagine it was.
Even if this kid is this one good season and the rest of his career is nothing, which I don't think is going to be the case.
Right.
Now, part of it is because he's got an offensive coach like Laviolette, and that definitely helps him. But the guy is a very talented hockey player, and he could certainly be fitting in well with his Caps team right now. And they don't have him. You're like, well, they wouldn't have Michael Lotta. I'd be okay with that, honestly, if I'd have Phil Forsberg.
I still stand by what I said in a past podcast, how Forsberg was never, ever going to be a Caps player. He was never going to wear.
I don't think that's the case.
I 100% think that McPhee went, wow, this kid dropped pretty quick. He's real talented. I bet you I could use him later in a trade. I'll take that kid. And then he just was like, all right, you go do
if
what you got to do.
That's the case, then he is as dumb as we all think he is for making that trade, because that's so stupid. What was he, like the 11th? 10th pick? 11th pick?
Yeah, he was supposed to be like one of the top three.
No, I know. I'm trying to. But when you have like 10 or 11 teams, and no, it would have been like 10, 9 or 10 teams in front of you that pass on him, and you're just like, what are you doing? Because that draft was where everybody's made a run on drafting young defensemen for whatever reason. For one reason or another, everybody went after a defenseman. And that's why he dropped. I don't think it was because of his playing or anything like that. I think that McPhee saw a team that was struggling getting near the deadline. And he made a panic move to get them into the playoffs, just like he did last season when he traded his best trading prospect, or not prospect because he wasn't a prospect, his best trading chip in Michael Neuwirth for another goalie when you didn't need one.
Dude, that was a pretty odd one.
That was also like he at the end of McPhee's tenure here, and he didn't have a horrible tenure. I would say overall as a general manager, he gets a C+, B-.
And he was one of like the longest reigning GMs in history, really. I mean, he was here for 17 years. I mean,
he was with the team for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely done some right things. He's
gone years before.
Yeah. I thought
a lot of other teams would have canned him years earlier, but I think Leonsis is loyal to his guys. As we see the same thing with the Wizards. He was loyal to Ernie Grunfeld, and it's actually worked out well. They may have been struggling for the last couple of weeks and months even, but he's doing, you know, halfway decent for the Wizards. And so I think Leonsis was loyal to McPhee, and he let him hang around, but I think he let him hang around too long. I think McPhee was panicking about his job and how the team was doing over the last two seasons, and he made a panic move in moving out Forsberg. And whether his scouts say, oh, well, he's not very fast. Well, guess what? You keep signing Erskine in new deals, and he's slow as hell. I'm fairly certain that my girlfriend's 4-year-old nephew, who has skated twice in his life, is a better ice skater than John Erskine.
Oh, man.
No, that's not true. That's
you're
not,
hurting
that's
this
not,
guy.
That's not true at all. I like Erskine as a player overall. I don't think he's as good as McPhee rated him to be. I think Erskine definitely – Erskine's style – and this is – we were way off topic. But Erskine's style was one of the – that it's hard not to like him even though he wasn't that great. But because he would do whatever he had to do for the team. Like he would he'd fight guys. He'd hit everybody that he could. He'd take, you know, as many shots as he wanted him to take, sometimes too many shots. But getting back on, my dog is attacking me right now.
Yeah, well, let me just say this thing about Erskine. I thought Erskine's been my favorite defenseman for such a long time. I've been a huge fan of his. I'm glad he's a Capital. I think his playing days are over. I think he was worth...
Well, that's because, I mean, what is his neck? Is it a neck?
Yeah, he keeps getting, like, nerve damage in his neck. And
he's been skating. Like yeah. Before practice, I think, but yeah, I got to think that like his time is up.
They said that like the earliest, if nothing goes wrong, that he could come back is like the second round of the Eastern Conference Finals. But I mean, that is honestly like the earliest, like the miracles. If a miracle, like an angel came down from heaven and like, you know, cured him of everything. That's
he's not even playing at that point. Even if he was healthy, he's not going to play just because the team is so... not so deep, but they're very deep defensively right now. You know, you've got the guys that are playing every night. Carlson, Alsner, Niskanen, Orlov, Green, not Orlov, Orpik, sorry, Green, that's six? Oh, wait a minute, we got a whining dog here.
Luna was mad, she's like, you forgot somebody.
How dare you, who did I just forget though? Hold on, Carlson, Alsner, Orpik, Niskanen, Green,
Schmidt, you got Schmidt? He's in Hershey.
No, who's
Gleason?
What about Gleason? Gleason, right, new guy, sorry.
He's a new guy.
Time out, I got to start. Shut up.
She agrees with me.
Right, Gleason. Forgot about him. Right, picked him on the trade deadline. He's actually been a really good pickup. But then, depth-wise, you have Orlov. Assumingly, he'll be ready in the next week or so. You have Schilling. You have Schmidt. You have Carrick. You have... Is Patrick Waite playing in Hershey? He's playing in Hershey, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So you have all this depth. So it's not a shot at Erskine or anything, but I don't see him playing over any one of those guys right now.
I mean, he's not going
to. Not to mention, it would be in the playoffs, and you can't give him a couple of games to, like, get back up to speed, because then you're potentially, those couple of games are knocking you out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't see him playing ever again, but I think that they have him there due to the fact that, you know, he's feeling better. He was up in Canada for a while, so, I mean, his playing days are over, and hopefully he just enjoys being in that team atmosphere and everything like that. But I
can see the team like signing him to some sort of like behind the scenes role.
Yeah,
He wants to stay in the sport or something like that, something like that, where he's able to still stick with the organization. But I don't imagine he'll be playing if he decides to retire. If he doesn't, I don't imagine the team would pick him up just because. I don't think he has it.
Yeah, I mean, neck problems, though. Like, you don't want to mess with that kind of stuff. So, like, if you're still having...
If he retires and the Caps sell his T-shirt for cheap, I'll go get one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I like Thurston. I give him a lot of crap because he's ridiculously slow. But he's a heart and soul kind of guy, and he did what he had to do for the team, protected the young guys when other teams would have their goons go after him. And you know, he's a good dude.
Yeah, and I think that he slowed down the last couple of years because he was having such medical problems. I mean, if he was one of these older players and wasn't having as many injuries, I think he would still be playing with the Capitals right now. I think, he wouldn't have so many fans going after him. You know how much he gets paid, bada bada bada. So, Erskine was great. As he was playing, he gave us the Capitals great memories. But you know, when age and health gets in the way, you got to take care of yourself first. You know, you got to put yourself first before the team. If you're having neck problems or nerve problems or anything like that, it's obviously going to affect your game. It's going to affect your personal life, and you know, you got to take care of yourself. And he's got kids and a wife and everything. So of course he's going to do that. But let's get back to the Capitals here. Sunday's game up against the Rangers. I didn't get to watch it. I had to work that day, so I got to listen to it. But the Capitals, it seemed like it was a pretty even game early on. And then, later on, it was the typical thing, like first period, Ovechkin scored and nobody else did. And then here comes Jason Chimera, out of all people, scoring back-to-back goals out of nowhere. This is the secondary scoring that you and I have continually talked about and how there needs to be more of that from the Capitals. So we've seen now guys can score besides Ovechkin. How do we continue that the next 2 weeks until we get to the playoffs? How do we strengthen up that secondary scoring?
Well, that's a tough one because they've been needing secondary scoring for so long. I don't know why it would suddenly just show up. I think it's a matter of all the players. Every guy has to just keep going and keep pushing and crash the net, make life difficult for the goal. You know, the opposing team's goalie, and just keep putting pucks on net. I see too many times where guys are just making one too many passes instead of just put a shot on net and look for the rebound. I think they don't take advantage of opportunities that they have just by putting the puck on net. And I can't remember which game it was over the past three where a player came in and tried to make a pass to set up someone who, yeah, he would have been in a better opportunity to score a goal, but the pass was one where you didn't necessarily – it wasn't looking like it was one that was going to be capable of being made because of the way the defensive player was on you or was on somebody. And so, you know, if you have the opportunity and the pass really isn't there, just take the shot and hope for a rebound. You don't have to always make that extra pass to try and get into a better spot.
Interesting. So let's
more shots on net. More shots on net is what I would like to see, with guys crashing the net to look for rebounds. I think that's a better opportunity than trying to make one too many passes, because what's the line? Yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's credit Michael Scott.
He'll be proud of that. So let's talk about the lines that were in New York, and it looks like we're going to see the same ones up against Carolina. Crazy, the Ovechkin and Backstrom have split up. I mean, that's...
Dun, dun, dun!
Ever since Trotz has been here, he's always been about keeping two guys together and then flipping out the third person. But he broke up that line. So the top line, you've got Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Ward, which, what a combo there. I mean, that is something I didn't think I'd see, but... let's go into that before I bring up my next point. But what's your take on Ovechkin and Backstrom being split up? I mean, it's kind of like when
spreading the wealth.
Your kids have to go to different colleges. You know, when they grew up together for so long.
That's very silly. It is what it is. You know, it's. I don't think it's a big deal. I think you're spreading the wealth to some extent. You're trying to get other players going by putting them with a guy like Backstrom who can set them up and give them opportunities. I think Ovechkin's good enough that he makes all the players around him better, and it's not like Kuznetsov's a putz or anything. He's not a bat. He's a very good player. So I think him being out there with him is a good thing. I think they have a good understanding. Both of them being Russians, you know, helps.
Yeah, Ward's got to be like, what are you guys saying?
He says something. What? Ovechkin just points. I think Ward... I have nothing against Ward personally. I just don't see why they keep putting him in these opportunities. I don't think he's a good enough player to be on the power play. I don't think he's a good enough player, offensively anyways, to be on the first line. I don't know what they're doing right now. And so it's not one of those things where I go back and I go, you need a first line right winger. That's what I think the biggest thing that McClellan's got to go out and get in the offseason is a first line right winger. And there's got to be somebody that's going to be a rebuilding team or a team that's looking, you know, for an older guy to come in, that's looking to move. Maybe they'll move a young guy, and somehow you move a draft pick, you move, you know, a player that you weren't necessarily wanting to part with to be able to bring in a guy that can really help you on the first line.
All right, so this is a good segue here. For the trade, we brought in Curtis Glencross, a guy I've been pretty impressed with when he came in. He's kind of fizzled out the last couple weeks or so.
I like what he's been doing.
But I find it weird that he's on the fourth line. I don't know if that's the best place for him. He's with Lotta.
Just like
what's his name? Penner from last year.
Yeah. And he was like, guys. I think him being on the fourth line is more of a
prove yourself and you'll move up type of line of thinking.
No. I think I don't view the fourth line like it's like you're bad, you're on the fourth line, because I think Trotz for the most part rotates all four lines. I think it's just where he's written down on the lineup. I don't think it is a like a demotion. How many minutes has he been? When was he on the fourth? Was he in the fourth line in the Rangers game?
Yeah, but like,
we'll look at how many minutes he played.
What I'm trying to say though is, he's there with Lotta and Wilson, which to me is a very heavy hitting line. It's there to wear down the other team and make him tired. Curtis Glencross doesn't seem like that type of player to me. If you remember it might have been months ago at this point, we were talking about how you were arguing with somebody on Twitter about how Burakovsky being sent down to Hershey and Beagle playing and not being scratched so Burakovsky can play.
I think that was our buddy Dave.
Yeah, it's kind of like apples and oranges because they're different players. I don't expect, I don't expect Wilson and Burakovsky to be on the same line with each other because they play differently. Beagle's more defensive, even though he's become more offensive this year. And Burakovsky, he's still learning, but he's very quick. He's a very good goal scorer. I don't understand why Glencross is being paired with those two guys. I can see Jason Chimera with Lotta and Wilson. I think that line makes a lot of sense. And this is my line of thinking. With what Ovechkin did last year with Oates, maybe the only good thing that Oates did for this team is that he made Ovechkin play the left wing and the right wing, make him a little bit more versatile, so it wasn't the same old thing. Do you move Ovechkin to the other wing now, and you put Glenn Cross with Kuznetsov on that top line. Right? Do you put him on the right, Glenn Cross on the left?
No, because they had Glenn Cross on the right side with Ovechkin and Backstrom, and Glenn Cross, it didn't work out. Now, he didn't give him very much time. He was there for, part of one game, and he was okay. But I don't know. I think it's a situation where Glenn Cross, they tried him on the first line, didn't work out. Maybe you should have given him a little more time. I like the player, and depending on how the season goes and where their salary cap's at, I wouldn't mind bringing him back for next season.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely. I think this is a great pickup, and I hope they sign him to another couple
years. I don't
think
he's the first-line player, and I think they may have to side between him and Brouwer.
Okay.
In terms of money going into the offseason. Brouwer, I think, is still around for another year, and Glenn Cross is going to be an unrestricted free agent. So they have to decide, and if you want to make a move for a first-line right wing, maybe you have to part with Brouwer or something like that in case a team wants him. So it's an interesting situation they're going to be going into, but I like what Glenn Cross brings to the team. The last game, he only played for like 12 minutes, but then you look at Wilson, who was on the first line. I think he was on the first line at one point. He's the only player to play less than 10 minutes in that game, and so it's...
Wilson's got to step it up. I know he's a young guy. He's been here for this is his second season.
I mean, his offense is coming around. He's not scoring goals, but he's getting better in terms of putting himself into position and getting opportunities. And so I got to think eventually they're just going to start going in.
Yeah, I got to imagine that Trotz is expecting to see more from him than he is, because he keeps trying him on that top line, but then, you know, he kind of gets bumped down to the fourth line and becomes just a muscle guy. I want to see him on the score sheet more. I want to see more than just, you know, a big body that can push people around.
He's still only 21. He's still got time.
Yeah, absolutely. He just turned 21, which, happy birthday, by the way, Tom Wilson.
I think it was on Sunday was his birthday?
Yeah, I think it was a game day. He turned 21.
Yeah.
What did you do for your 21st birthday?
It was a work night, so I went to Fridays in Rockville. I'm not a big drinker, so yeah. I was like, all right. So I went to Fridays in Rockville and I think had a drink or two, and then went home and went to bed and went to work the next day.
Man, you're so conservative.
What did you go to, like Fells Point or something?
I went to Las Vegas for my 21st birthday.
Jesus, what do you think you are, the hangover?
Yeah, so I went to Margaritaville. I had a drink called A License to Chill at midnight, and the guy looked at my ID, and he just friggin' put so much vodka in that drink. And I felt pretty good.
Messed up.
I felt pretty good. And then I got in fights with casino people because they kept looking at my ID, not realizing what the date was. And they wouldn't let me sit down and play some table games while I was there for a while. But yeah, Vegas turned 21 was pretty cool. Yeah, that was fun. But hey, Tom Wilson gets a win in Madison Square Garden on his 21st birthday. I don't think a lot of people can say that.
Not many. That would be my guess.
All right, so let's talk about Jay Beagle here. Of course, he got injured a couple weeks ago, which the second I saw he did that, you know, spin a Rooney after getting hit, I'm like, all right, well, he's concussed. He's out for a couple weeks. Trotz talked about Jay Beagle's injury. He said probably
his shoulder.
I thought it was a concussion.
No, that's Chris Letang.
He got messed up.
Yeah, I didn't see the hit. I saw him on the ice, and he was like, "Where am I?"
Yeah, he was long gone.
He didn't know what century he was in, but which is scary. I mean, even though he's a Penguin, that sucks. Beagle, I thought it was just his shoulder.
All right, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was his shoulder. I thought it was a concussion.
Am I thinking of somebody else?
No, I mean it was that big hit that Beagle took.
No, I know, but yeah. I thought it was. I could have sworn they said it was his shoulder.
Well, it might have been his shoulder. I mean, the head, shoulder, it's all very close together. But Trotz said that...
The point is, he's still out.
Yeah, he's still out. Probably a little more serious than we even anticipated, but it's not really serious. So, that's...
Which is it?
Odd. I don't know.
Is it serious? Is it not serious? I mean, did they think it was something minor, and then they're like, oh, there's also this massive problem as well? I think maybe they're being a little more cautious with him than they normally be. If it was earlier in the season, because it was earlier in the season, you wouldn't care as much just because it's so early. But, you know, with the playoffs coming up, maybe they're keep trying to give him a little extra time to rest up before they have to go out and play almost every day.
Yeah, I believe he's still expected to go on the road trip up to Montreal coming up, but of course he won't be playing, but he might he might be skating with the team by that point, because right now he's just skating with John Erskine after practice. So I definitely want to see Jay Beagle back in this lineup if the Capitals make the playoffs, because I like what he brought to the team this year. I'm a big Jay Beagle fan, and I kind of feel as if the team's missing him right now, and I want to see him. I want to see him a part of that playoff run.
Yeah, I think the team is defensively somewhat missing Beagle. I mean, they've been playing well, with the exception of the first period against Nashville. They've been playing pretty well defensively and had a lot of check clunk guys. So it'd be interesting to see who they bump out of the lineup when Beagle comes back. Is it going to be Lotta? So
Brooks Leg.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they decide to do with Beagle, provided he's able to come back. And they definitely can use a guy like him in the playoffs. He'll save up a goal late in the game, and there's a face-off in your zone. And you're going to send Beagle out there to take the face-off. So, even though Ferris knew well, although what was the Nashville game, they were getting just freaking dominated in the playoff, in the face-off circle. That was pretty bad. But, yeah, hopefully Beagle's back soon, but they keep him – Yeah, they don't rush him back, because I don't think that he's going to be the guy that puts them over or anything like that. But he's definitely the guy they want going into the playoffs.
Yeah, so anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Yeah, we got a couple of things. Aside from Trotz messing with the lineups all the time. That's been getting a little crazy. I don't even know what the lineup's going to be tomorrow. Who knows? It'll be crazy. Dmitry Orlov was officially reassigned to Hershey for conditioning purposes on Friday. Actually, looked it up. He played in two of the three games that were over the weekend. He got three assists. So that's pretty good. Nice to see these play. I think he came out with a plus minus of zero. So, but either way, it's good to see he's been playing and still doing some things offensively out there. The Caps signed 2011 sixth round draft pick Travis Boyd to a 2-year entry level deal that will start next season. He's a forward and will join the Hershey Bears on a tryout agreement for the rest of this season. Now, he becomes the first member of the 2011 draft class to sign with the team. Huh. Now, before you freak out, there are only four picks that year, the first of which was not until the fourth round. Team also took goalie Stefan Soberg, defenseman Patrick Kudis, I think is how you say his last name. I don't know. He probably got made fun of a lot when he was a kid.
Oh, a lot.
And defenseman Garrett Haar. That's your boy.
Yeah.
So they didn't have that many picks in the 2011. I don't remember why, aside from the fact they probably traded all of their draft picks at the trading deadline.
But Haar is already playing for the Stingrays, right? So
he doesn't mean that he signed a deal with the Caps.
Okay, gotcha.
This all is from the Caps website, so if that's incorrect information, blame them. and then I also see on Alex Pruitt's Twitter that, according to Tim Leone, I think his name, he was one of the guys writing up in Hershey, the Caps have advised Hershey that Tyler Lewington, Madison Bowie, and Jakub Vrána could join the Bears soon. So I would love to see those guys playing for Hershey going into their playoff run. But yeah, that's some Caps news going forward.
Love to see Bowie and Vrána playing up there. That would be great.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you called him Jakub.
Vrána makes us forget all about Forsberg.
Yeah, you called him Jakub.
Isn't it Jakub or is it Jacob?
I always thought it was Jacob, but I don't know these European
names.
He's
Czech, right? All right, so the Caps used to have a player years ago. What was his name?
You know, we'll figure it out later.
And I used to think his name was Jacob until one day they were talking about him on a broadcast, and they said Jakub, and I was like, what? And I think he was also Czech, so...
Okay, I might be completely right. We still have no idea how to say the other Hershey Bear dude, his name.
Isn't it Galiv? We know it officially, it's Galiv.
Is it Galiv? Okay, well, it took us years.
It looks like Galiev or something.
Yeah, that's what I always called him. But I'm just a dumb American, so who knows?
America! damn it. I'm trying to find a way to say it by looking up on YouTube, wait a minute. No, I don't know if they would have it. All right, we'll look it up later. I think, is it Jakub Vrána, Jakub Vrána? Jakub sounds cooler.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to go with that.
All right, so that's it for Caps World?
Yep.
All right, very cool. Well, we are going to go.
Got to win out. I mean, they're currently 6 points safe in the wild card spot, even though Ottawa's played one less game. I mean, they're 3 points ahead of Boston for the last wild card spot. They're 6 points ahead of Ottawa, who is just outside the playoffs looking in. They're 7 ahead of Florida. So while they're not safe, I wouldn't panic yet, but they're definitely not in a spot where they can just coast. But they're also only 3 points behind the Islanders and the Penguins, and they've played one less game than the Islanders. So if those two teams take a couple of key losses and the Caps get some more wins, they could end up ending up in second or third in the Metropolitan.
Well, if you're talking to the Capitals, tell them that every single game is a must-win, and that
Carl Ulzer.
They need to win every single game in order to get in. So just tell them that.
I don't know what the magic number is just yet.
Last week, Alan May said that they needed to win. So last week, there were 9 games left. He believed to get in, they had to win at least 4. So they needed 8 points. So
you think the magic number is 4?
He said last week was 8.
Well, he also called Philip Forsberg Peter Forsberg during the broadcast.
So I'm just going with what Alan May said. But you know what? If 2 more games clinches it, I'm cool with it. But that's Alan May math.
No, it'd be 4 games, not 2 games.
Well, they already won 2. They needed 8 points. So they
Was before. Okay, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. No, wait a minute. I have to go back and look. Screw it. The point is, keep winning.
Yeah, exactly. So
screw the magic number, just win. That's the magic number. Wait, how many games do they have left now?
They have 6 games left.
Okay, 16. Okay, the magic number is 22.
All right.
You need 16 wins to win the Stanley Cup and 4 more in the regular. Six in the. How many left again?
There's 6 games. Yeah.
6 games. All right. So the magic number 22. You win 6 more games and you win 16 in a row and you won the Stanley Cup. That's the magic number, 22.
Perfect. So let's think that number from now on, Caps fans.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Down on the Farm. But before we do anything, let's have a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Plenty of stuff to celebrate with these guys. Field of Dance, tell us what's going on down on the farm.
I don't want to.
Build it, they will come.
Nope.
Build it, they will come.
All right, this is getting way out of control.
They will win cups.
Don't jinx it, dude. Let's see. In the past week, Hershey went 2-1 with wins over Manchester and Bridgeport. The Bears are currently first in the East Division with a record of 42-19-7, good for 91 points, 8 points up on second place Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Suck it, Penguins. And have clinched a playoff spot. So the Bears are going back to the playoffs. They play next on the... Well, they play next on Wednesday at the Giant Center in Hershey against your favorite team, Worcester.
Worcester.
That they still don't know how to spell their own land. Friday and Saturday, both on the road in Norfolk, in what I believe will be the last time the Bears travel to Norfolk before they move across the country next season. Well, in between next season.
And they become the Gulls, hanging out with Ovi the Bulldog.
Yeah, he's over there now.
Yeah.
Forgot all about that. He follows me on Twitter, I believe.
Cool.
So there.
He's the coolest bulldog there is, except for my half a bulldog I have. I have the back half.
Do you have a Caps jersey for your half of a bulldog?
Of course.
Wait, do you really?
Oh, absolutely I do.
Oh, well done. What do I have?
I don't have a jersey.
Bandana for my dog.
I don't have a jersey for my cat, though. I mean, I have tried doing that. His name is Zamboni, so he needs a Caps jersey, but I don't know. Well, I'll have to find a cat size one.
All right, moving on. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-1, which means their East AHL record 23 game streak is over. But who gives an F as they have clinched a spot in the Kelly Cup playoffs? Stingrays are currently 42-19-8, good for 91 points, which puts them second in the East Division. And someone is barking in the background.
She heard you talking about her jersey, taking it away. She's ticked.
How dare you? The Stingrays are currently 42-19-7, good for 91. Hey, they have the same record as the Bears. That's interesting.
Interesting.
That puts them second in the East Division, which means they are ahead of the Reading Royals. Yeah.
Stingrays
play their next 3 on the road starting on Thursday, with those 2 being in Orlando against your favorite team, the Solar Bears, because that's a thing.
Solar Bears.
The final one being against the Florida Everblades. That is going down to the farm.
I love the ECHL just for the puns. The
names are stupid.
The Everblades. Oh my gosh, that is the best in the world. Oh, I love it.
Which is better, the Everblades, the Solar Bears? Oh, what's some of the other dumb ones? Hold on, I mean, so since the next section is going to be really short, we have Comets with a K.
Of course,
that's dumb. What's other some interesting? Road Warriors. But those guys are all going to go watch Mad Max when that comes out.
Oh yeah.
The Rush. Like the video game?
Like Tom
the
Sawyer?
The Mallards? That's frightening.
The Mallards, all right.
Quad City? Where the hell?
Quad City?
Where the hell is that? Is that something from Grand Theft Auto?
Quad City.
The Thunder? That's stealing. No, I'm just kidding. The Rain, R-E-I-G-N.
The Roman Reigns, okay.
Ontario Rain.
Be a good name for, like, Seattle.
Oh, the Steelheads. Idaho, that's... I think that's the name of the women's soccer league team. I think that's the Seattle Reign.
Oh.
But spelled R-E-I-G or whatever the hell. Yeah, they have silly names. But yeah, that's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, very cool. Congrats to the Bears and Stingrays. Bring home even – let's have the Cavs bring home a Stanley Cup, Calder Cup, and a Kelly Cup all in the same season. How cool would that be? That's pretty much it for what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL? We already talked about one guy getting, you know, obliterated into the boards. Who else has been injured this week?
Well, I'm pretty sure the intro music is going to be longer than this entire segment because I only got two pieces of news from the past week of in the NHL. Columbus forward Jared Bull was suspended for 3 games for an illegal check to the head of Anaheim forward Patrick Maroon. And Rangers forward Tanner Glass was fined $3,897.85, which is the maximum allowed under the CBA for, if I read this correctly, for butt-ending Boston defenseman Adam McQuaid on Saturday. That's the news from the past week in the NHL. Now, again, there's a lot of players that were getting signed, but they were all entry-level deals, so who cares at the moment? And, I mean, there's a whole thing with Letang being out injured with a concussion. That sucks for him. You know, I mean, it's definitely a bad thing going forward, but, you know, in terms of, the only thing really going on this week, aside from injuries and young guys getting signed, was these two idiots getting in trouble.
Well, I think that this is kind of pertinent to you and I. This is kind of interesting hockey news. Our alma mater, Stevenson University.
What'd they do now?
They are adding men's ice hockey to their athletics.
I need a t-shirt.
And they will have their inaugural season in the 2016-2017 school year. They will be playing in the ECAC West Hockey League, I believe it is. I guess
I know what that is.
Guess it's a league. That is the Eastern College Athletic Conference.
Okay, the point is you need to give me a t-shirt.
And that's West Hockey League. Yeah, I was right. So congrats to the Mustangs. They started everything a couple years ago with women's ice hockey, and now they've added men's ice hockey to it. So congrats to them. That's some pretty big news.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. Now somebody give me a t-shirt or a jersey.
Those jerseys, man, they're like $100, $120 bucks. They're expensive.
I'll take a t-shirt.
You want a tie for $70? We can do that too.
A tie?
Sorry, I'm just getting bitter now. Let's get off that topic. But hey, congrats to Stevenson University. Men's ice hockey to go along with the women's ice hockey. Pretty cool. Congratulations. I wish there was ice hockey when we were there, because maybe you and I could have been the commentators for the team. That would have been cool.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is if that's it for around the NHL. If you want to continue the conversation, talk to Coach Dan or I about the Caps, about hockey, whatever is going on, all you got to do is tweet to us. We're very accessible. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me occasionally at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is the Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, how many have you bought within the past 24 hours?
I only have one Slapshot bobblehead. I haven't even gotten...
How have you only had one?
Is it April yet? Damn, it's not April yet. I can't...
Tomorrow.
I want this stupid... Jesus Slapshot. I so want that for Easter.
we all make mistakes. Speaking of bobbleheads, I just saw this, and being is that we are both Orioles fans, apparently the Orioles are going to allow fans to vote as to who's going to be who's going to be the bobblehead giveaway during Fan Appreciation Weekend.
Oh yeah, they do that
October 4th.
They do that every year.
No, I didn't know that. I just saw that. So let's see. Start Chen, Norris, O'Day, Britton, and Pierce are the guys. That's it. I'll take Wei Yin Chen bobblehead. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
I don't have any.
I'm going to 13 games this year. I bought a partial season ticket plan for the O's, so I'm very excited. All 13 home games.
Last time I went to an Orioles game.
Well, you have to come up to Baltimore this summer, my dude.
They have to.
And we'll have to hit up a game.
On a Saturday night. I went to one Nats game last year.
I'm sorry.
Shut up. they're good. But speaking of bobbleheads, also, I don't remember if I told you this, but my friend who lives up in Pennsylvania, he lives up in Lancaster, he found somehow and got me the Joel Rekulich bobble fist.
Oh, I got one of those. Yeah.
It is very cool. But very that cool. one's very cool. The other Hershey one I want is the Nathan Walker one.
Oh, yeah, the snow globe.
Yeah, I want that so bad. But aside from that, it should go all the way back. That's capitalsoutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you need about this podcast, all the other podcasts we do, as well as photos and videos we produce. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Anytime we put anything new out, you will be notified on there. You can also go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we are also on Twitter at WTP_Podcast. Now, we do this show completely for free. You see, I didn't do this last week, so I don't know what happened to us. But here we go.
We're talking about The Walking Dead, and you lost your mind.
Oh, we should talk about that right now. We should talk about that in our new segment, A Puck to the Head. we'll do that after we get to this part. But okay. Here we go. The show is on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's on TuneIn Radio, and it's on the Baltimore Sports Report Network. And it is all for free. We do this show for free. The Stanley Cup playoffs. That is a busy time for hockey fans, and there's gonna be a lot of emotion going on as long as the Capitals are in it. So we're gonna be doing shows throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs as long as the Capitals are there. So all of our free time is going to be consumed with this podcast. So we do this show for fun. You guys download it because you're big fans. We need you to tell other fans, get them involved, because this is, besides the Winter Classic, this is when those nonchalant hockey fans become, you know, those bandwagon fans. So let them know that you're a podcast.
Just calling people out.
That's true. Like, everyone I always talk to, they're like, oh, we'll wait till the playoffs, then we'll watch. But, you know, that's fine. Hey, as long as you're watching hockey, that's all good. I don't care how watch it.
Fair enough.
But, you know, when people are asking you, I don't understand what icing is. What is that? Why are they facing off there? Whatever, whatever. Don't explain it to them. Say, listen to What the Puck. They know what they're talking about. They'll get you ready for the next game. All right? So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck. They sort of know what they're talking about, and you should listen too. So that's all you got to do for us. We're not asking you for money. We're just asking you to help us out, help us get even bigger than we already are, that we love the Capitals. We love doing What the Puck, and we need to get bigger, and we need your help for that. So please just let people know. And you know what? I will be so happy if we get one extra like on Facebook. That's all I want. I want one like this week. Just give us that. That's all we want. So let's... Before we wrap things
just
up.
Just one.
Just one. That's all I want. I just want one extra like. That's all I want. So before we get out of here, A Puck to the Head, Walking Dead finale, what'd you think?
I thought it was good. I didn't think that it was... I think Norman Reedus had come out and said it was going to be...
He said, oh, you're going to need your Kleenex.
I mean, maybe because you felt... Okay, hold on. Pause for a second. For anyone that has not watched the finale
Spoilers.
Yet, you just go ahead and stop right here. Thank you for listening. But stop what you're doing, because you're going to ruin it for yourself. And spoilers, and here we go. So maybe, I don't even remember what the character's name was, but Deanna's husband, you know, getting his throat slit with Michonne's sword by the porch dick.
Porch dick.
That guy. I mean, you watched Talking Dead, right?
So
you
know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay. So by porch dick guy, you know, that sucked. You know, because, one thing, he was the architect, so they kind of need him, because it looks like, I mean, they've been sort of expanding the walls to some extent, so that's going to be a bit of a problem. It was interesting to see Deanna have that.
Who's Deanna?
Thanks, Abraham. It's interesting to see the way she sort of like transformed from, you know, he's our porch stick guy is their surgeon. He's the doctor in town. They really need him to go ahead and shoot him in the head. And Rick, without even thinking about it, I was like, okay, bam, dead.
I loved the lighting in those two shots because she looks at him and goes, Rick, do it. He's got his face is brightly lit by the flames.
Okay.
And then they switch shots to where they're kind of looking up at him.
Rick Sayers would love the lighting in that episode.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if he watches Walking Dead.
I hope
he
does.
That's a Stevenson reference for those of you
listening. It's inside a joke, sorry. But when he points the gun and then actually shoots Pete, his eyes are...
That's Porch Dick's name. Thank you.
His eyes are black. I mean, there is no light whatsoever there. They did such a great job lighting those...
Maybe you need to turn the brightness up in your TV.
Maybe. But I mean, his face goes from like brightly lit to he's going to do this dark thing and then he's all dark and you know, scary at this point. The other two things I absolutely loved, you know, we have the wolves. Who do they attack and who do they
put? Are they in the comics?
Sort of.
I feel like I was talking to somebody today about that and I don't remember who they are.
You'll see them, who they are in the comics, I think, in the premiere of next season.
No, I don't remember them from the comics.
The actual wolves are not, but they're a gang in the comic. They're not called the wolves in the comic, but
no, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but they're kind of a similar gang in the comic. But I love the fact that Daryl and Aaron are chasing a guy. They don't know who he is. They're trying to listen to him, and the wolves get the guy, and he's in a red hood. So it's the wolves and Little Red Riding Hood.
I did like the joke that they made on. Talking Dead, where he's calling. Basically, he's wearing the red. He's like somebody from Star Trek. If you're wearing the red shirt, you're dead. You're not making it out of the episode.
And the other thing I like, this is the film geek coming out of me, but after Gabriel kills the walker and then he kills the person the walker was attacking, he's laying down, he's crying. There's this big wide shot, and he's on one side of the double lines for the road. So since he killed a walker and then killed a person, he finally crossed that line into the apocalypse.
Screw that guy.
So I like that symbolism there where he goes over the parking lines and that's the actual lines that he had to cross to realize what kind of world he lives in now. But I like the finale. I thought it was very good. It stuck very close to the comics. I'm glad they did 90 minutes. I feel like it really needed that. And I'm really sad. I'm glad Mad Men's coming back this Sunday, but Sunday night's not going to be the same without The Walking Dead. It's the only show I watch with my family. It's the only one we all agree on. It's pretty awesome. So it's a good finale. I'll be sad while it's gone, but Fear the Walking Dead comes out this summer.
That is the dumbest title.
Yeah, it's not the greatest, but
that's pretty bad.
But I'm interested to see since it's like
Morgan.
Morgan was awesome.
First of all, when did he become a freaking ninja?
He was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Like he went from being like very like chill, like the zombie apocalypse craziness in the very beginning, where he was very calm, couldn't kill his wife, even though she was a zombie. I completely understood that. Then he he loses his son, so he goes kind of off the deep end and becomes a psychopath. And then now he's a ninja.
He's a ninja.
Out of nowhere.
Crazy.
But now it wasn't like he was a guy who was just fighting for himself. He was so calm in the way that he did it, where he just like hit the guys and he just kind of stood there waiting. With this pose, like if you see someone doing that pose, you're like, you know what, man, our bad. I'm backing off. We messed up. We're gonna go our separate ways. My bad. When someone's that, they just whooped you, and they're that calm about it, you're just like, okay, time out. I apologize. You were in the right. You know, let's move on. And then to have the way, but I think they brought up on Talking Dead. It was interesting in terms of seeing how the last time Rick and Morgan saw each other, it was Morgan was a crazy person and Rick was very calm, and now they have switched.
Yes, absolutely.
So that was and I thought that they were going to kill off Daryl with the whole car thing, that he was actually going to save Aaron by, you know, trying to draw all the walkers over to him. And I thought Morgan showing up was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
And again, very chill with the just beating people's heads. Oh, but the chain taking the heads off. I was like, I literally said out loud, what the that would not work. Like some of the zombie kills, I'm like, bull crap.
There were definitely some questionable zombie graphics this episode. You could definitely, like, I mean,
it's been, what, like a year and a half to 2 years since the whole thing started? Yeah. And without, I mean, maybe the I don't know, I mean, I don't know how it works, but if it, to, you
they're,
know, your
they're
bones,
decaying and everything.
Do they soften enough that you can hit the dude with a chain, or three people, or, well, zombie walkers, whatever, with a chain, and they just go down, I guess. I don't know. But I was like, I literally out loud went, what? No. I call shenanigans on that one.
It was a cool kill, but yeah.
It was very cool.
Yeah, I think that's like they're
running out of cool ways to do it.
Yeah, I mean, what, an episode ago, Daryl killed one with like a ram horn, you know, a dead animal that was in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
That one was questionable, but I'm interested to see what
sharp enough.
Yeah, what Greg Nicotero comes up with next season, but yeah, that Walking Dead, I'm excited. Can't wait for October to come back around and get The Walking Dead back. So
it's so long.
Yeah.
But
so
now we get Fear the Walking Dead. The longest time. That's very silly. Because Walking Dead, the beginning.
Yeah, probably.
Or it's not even Walking Dead. You could just, no, I guess you kind of have to.
You have to have that brand.
Yeah, all right. So Walking Dead, the beginning. Walking Dead, how it started. Walking Dead, we need to make more money.
That's the perfect one. All right, so now let's go over what we got coming up for the Capitals. Not many games are left, so let's talk about it.
Oh, wait, I had a question for you.
Okay.
Sorry, I totally forgot. Okay, I don't know if we did this before, and if we did, we can edit this part out, but which Capital do you feel would do the best in a zombie apocalypse?
Oh, man.
Did we ask that question before?
No, we've never done that before.
Which player do you feel would do the best in the zombie apocalypse?
I bet.
Though it's kind of easy. Who goes hunting?
Who goes
hunting? I feel like.
Oh, yeah, Eric Fair?
Does Fair
is
go
he
hunting?
A hunter? Who's
the. I mean, like.
Who's the most Canadian?
Capital, Brendan Witt would probably survive a really. Who's the most Canadian? Brendan Witt would probably survive. I mean, Tom Wilson could punch all the zombies. I
DJ
suppose.
King would rough some zombies up.
Yeah, they would beat up. Erskine would be able to beat up some zombies.
But current guys, I bet you Holtby would do well in the zombie apocalypse because, I mean, you get in his face, he has no problem, you know, smacking you down.
That's true. I feel like his net stuff would not last very long.
I don't think Ovi would do too well in the zombie apocalypse.
Ovechkin would try and body check all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Whoever's a hunter, I feel like would do the best. Mike, all right, yeah. Erskine's on the roster still on the website. I didn't even notice that. I think Erskine would do very well. Who was the big hunter? Oh, Adam LaRoche, but he's baseball for the Nets. He would be the wrong team. Orpik could probably survive. Whoever goes hunting would probably be the one to survive the longest.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of those guys are domesticated now, so I don't know. I don't know.
Domesticated? They're not in the zoo, dude.
All right, so let's talk about the games coming up tonight, in case this doesn't get done in time. Tonight, the Capitals are up against Carolina. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast.
This is the last team they play that is not fighting for a playoff spot.
Ooh, God, that's going to hurt. On Thursday, April 2nd, the Capitals are in Montreal up against the Canadiens. That game is at 7:30. That's on Comcast Sportsnet. Saturday, April 4th, the Capitals are in Ottawa up against the Senators. Man, that one's going to be a rough one to watch. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet and the NHL Network. And then Sunday, April 5th, the Capitals are in Detroit up against the Red Wings. That game is at 5 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet, as well as, oh, they're playing on Easter. There you go. Capitals hockey on Easter.
Yeah.
Capitals Red Wings, 5 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet, and the NHL Network. So that is all the games coming up. Some heavy games. Canadiens, Senators, Red Wings, all teams that nobody to mess with. Especially the Senators, who are fighting for that wild card spot. They're going to take any points they can. The Canadiens, they're doing pretty well, so I don't think they're really going to like be in, you know, full force coming at you. It's like the Senators are. The Senators game, that's my pick to be the one to watch this week, because I think that one's going to be the roughest one. What about you?
I mean, they're all going to be tough the rest of the way, because every other team, with the exception of Carolina, is going to be fighting for a playoff spot, so you're going to have to get your best hockey you've got in the rest of the season, because I think you're going to get the exact same thing from all those teams. I think the only game that might be easy is the game against the Rangers last game of the season, because at that point they may have clinched a playoff spot, so the players are going to try and they don't want to get hurt. Unless it looks like they're going to play each other in the playoffs. And then you might have a couple of guys trying to take runs at other players to try and send a message before the playoffs start or something like that. So things could get very interesting.
Very true. So that is pretty much it for What the Puck this week. We will be back next week. Stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter account to figure out when a new show comes out, because the Capitals do play the last week of the regular season. They do play on a Wednesday on a rivalry night, so we will let you guys know when to look for the next show. So that's it for What the Puck this week. The Capitals, they got plenty of hockey left, plenty of gas in the tank to go. They have not secured a spot in, like, definitely in the playoffs, so they are still fighting for every point they can. So cheer loud, cheer proud, go to the phone booth, go wherever you live, be a Caps fan, and scream, "Let's go, Caps!"
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
All right. I need a name.
No.
Think of anything.
Move on.
Damn it. Farm movies. Let's see. Wait,
are you... Oh, God. What's a good way to waste time?
I already called you Danny Dirt, so I'm not going to do that. King Corn. That's different.
What the hell does that even mean?
I don't know. Meat Tricks. This is terrible. Oh, Google, you are the worst. Man. Let's see, I've done Danny the Duck.
That doesn't make sense.
I've done Field of Dreams. Field of Dans. Done. All right, there we go.